And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna, where it's a little bit chilly this morning. Willie Donick will join us a little bit later in the program. Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue, while Elijah Campbell's manning things at our Network Control Studios, which is our game studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, our wholesale inc, to be exact. Guys, I think we got a little snow last night, I think, in some places.
Yeah, I believe some places did. Did not on the west side. So we were good over here. But, yeah, I know that was the – you know, here's my favorite thing about that. When you have a meteorologist for, you know, one of our four television stations and they report the forecast, and they're usually, you know, that you're kind of getting the same thing from everywhere most mm-hmm. of the time. And then people get mad at them and blame them and say it's their fault, you know, for saying that snow is coming and, like, trying to scare people into watching them. And I'm just going, they're reporting the forecast. Like, how is that on them? It is what it is. Deal with it. Cracks me up. I see that stuff on Twitter all the time.
It's an inexact science, as we know, and
they miss
a lot. And it's like, have you ever watched a weather forecast? I mean,
right?
What, like that? that surprise? I mean, you know, that stuff. It's they're forecasting. It's not an exact science. So, you know, they miss all the time. That's what you're trying to predict. Weather patterns. You're looking at a radar and trying to see and other. They have all kinds of data that tells them, you know, how this is all going to go about. It's just strange how we went from, what, 72, 74 degrees, depending on where you were yesterday, to, you know, mid-30s last night and, you know, chance of snow.
I know.
It's like, what? How did we get there? How does this happen? And it's going to be cold today.
It is. I took Sawyer out this morning, and it's definitely different than it has been over the last few days. So
I think, what, 52 degrees maybe the high today?
Yeah, that sounds right. But, I mean, listen, that's Tennessee. That's Nashville. That's what we deal with. So it is
so
what it is.
So deal with it.
It's crazy. I was in Michigan this weekend, and it was never this cold up there that entire
really?
Time. The entire time. And, of course, when I left, like, the day after it snowed, like, 3 or 4 inches.
Did it really?
It did. As soon as we left, it started snowing.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's... I've seen it happen all too many times. I've seen it snow in May up there in the Northeast, which that's, when that's, you know, a big part of what I was like, I got to move back down south. I can't do this. I enjoy winter for like 3 months, 2-3 months, and then I'm good. Like, bye-bye. And 3 months is like that's actually a stretch. Probably a couple of months. A couple of months of winter's cool, right? That's
sure.
Fine. Sure. You know, 2-2.5 months. Okay. But, you know, you start talking about April and May, like, get out of here. Starting in October and November, get out of here with that stuff. Enough.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that way, with that. Shane says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is there a way I can send you a video of what it looked like about an hour south of Nashville? Tweet it at us at 1025 The Game.
Yeah. Where's an hour south? I wonder specifically where Shane's talking about.
Tweet it at us or at Chase on Game at DMAC underscore 1025. You can do that.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I'm assuming they got a pretty good amount of snowfall. I don't know.
Which I don't like. I would love to see it because I don't know how, you know, at least here. I mean, it's just been too warm. The ground's too warm.
Yeah.
For it to do anything. I don't know if it snowed around here at all last night. I know there wasn't any on the ground when I woke up. It was just wet.
Yeah,
I heard it raining. Definitely
yes.
Rained during the
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, Predators are in Chicago at the United Center. 6 o'clock puck drop tonight. 6 o'clock puck drop right here.
Oh, he says north. He says, I mean north, guys.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I was like, south? I want to see an hour south from here. What? Okay, hour north. Okay, so up at the border.
Yeah.
So maybe even into Kentucky. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. I still don't know what the pictures are going to look like. I'm curious to see.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Same. Send those our way. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call tonight when they drop the puck. I'll have pregame for you starting at 5. So another big one tonight. Predators are 6-0 versus the Blackhawks this season. But with that being said, have you looked at the standings today? If you haven't, there's a new creeper and searching for that fourth spot, and they look like stormtroopers with a little hint of green in their unis. They wore them again last night.
I don't know
if they keep having a Star Wars theme at American Airlines Center. I'm not sure. Here's the thing. I admitted it yesterday, and I admitted it Monday night at the game. I don't hate them. Like, people are,
no,
are
I don't banging.
Like, I don't hate them. Like, is that bad? Like, is that wrong? Like, I actually, we're poking fun. I'm poking fun at them, but I actually kind of dig them a little bit. I mean, dare I say that I think they're actually kind of cool.
I do too. I've always liked, you know, ice, you know, the ice white look for teams. So I don't hate them. I don't hate them at all.
I mean, I don't like the stars, but I don't hate the.
No.
That's what I'm getting at. You know, that's what I'm getting at. Look at that. Just if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go. It's easy to go find. Go search the internet. Go hit the Google machine. Go get on social media. You can find it. You can find, you know, video or pictures of what the stars have looked like in the last couple of games against the Red Wings. I think it actually has, and I said this in postgame Monday night, I think it actually has like a Christmas theme to it, you know, when they play the Red Wings. You got, you know, the red, you got the white, little hint of green. I thought it was very festive.
Yeah. I don't have any issue with it.
They're one point behind the Predators, by the way.
Yeah. They're creeping. And so that's why it makes it even more important to continue to take care of business. Because as you know, one of the biggest sports cliches of all time, when you get to this time of year going towards the playoffs, is you control your own destiny, which is not actually true. Destiny is, you know, you don't control it, but you can control when, you know, how you play and being ready for games and taking care of a team that you've owned this year. And so just keep doing that. And that's going to help your cause. I mean, there are 4 points on the line for 2 games this week, and the Predators need all 4. You can't worry about what Dallas is doing. They're controlling their own deal. So you got to take care of Chicago, and then you get a head-to-head matchup. Two with Florida, then you get a head-to-head matchup. So that'll help as well. So, you know, just keep taking care of business.
And, I'll tell you what's interesting is if Dallas wins a couple more games this week – and the Predators win a couple more games this week, Chicago's almost eliminated, dare I say, right? They're like basically done.
Yeah, I would say they'd either be done or on life support at that point.
They've only got 1 game in hand on Nashville. They have no games in hand on Dallas. Dallas has got a game in hand on them. But, I mean, they're already 3 points behind Dallas, 4 points behind the Predators. You lose the next 2 games in regulation, hello, you're 8 points back.
Right. Who else do they play this year?
I don't have Chicago's schedule in front of me.
They play. See, I actually like how the Predators' schedule lays out for them, you know, outside of those two with Carolina at the end. But, you know, Florida, which will obviously be, you know, not be easy, but you have that, have two against Florida. And then Dallas, and then Columbus. Okay, so Chicago has 1 against Tampa a week from yesterday, so next Tuesday. And then they play Florida. And then 3 straight against Carolina.
Yeah.
And then 2 against Dallas.
Oof.
That's rough.
That is, That's why I said you can pretty much eliminate them.
Yeah,
I feel pretty comfortable in saying that. You got they have Tampa, 2 against Florida, 3 against Carolina. and two against Dallas. That's their remaining schedule after this Predator series.
That's rough.
Yikes. And by the way, all three Carolina games are in Raleigh.
Yeah, even worse.
Not good. Yeah, that's I would say if they don't get a point in tonight or Friday, I think they're toast. You can cross them off the list.
You can.
This is what I know.
You can
I know
call
that was
ball
on,
game.
That was on Monday. This is what I know. They're done.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about saying that. They're done. They would be 8 points behind the Predators with that schedule remaining. No.
So even makes it even more important. Just take care of business. And, you know, the Predators yesterday got some good news. We talked about that. You know, Ellie Tolvanen day-to-day. Brad Richardson, who was not been a factor all year, is day-to-day, but, you know, could have the potential, you know, to get some bodies back. So if Tolvanen is ready to go, and you have him, I don't know if you'll have him tonight, but at least if you have him Friday, I mean, that's huge. Because we've seen what the power play has not been able to do since he's been out.
Yeah, they desperately need him back there on the power play.
And David Poile told us yesterday, you know, that Forsberg looks more like it could be next week, but it seems like they're close.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. It's going to be an exciting finish. Game 48 of the Predators' 56-game season tonight in Chicago. We'll come back. We'll switch gears. We'll talk to Jim Wyatt. TennesseeTitans.com covers the Titans. Of course, tomorrow will be 1 week out from the NFL draft and inching so close to that 8 days away. We'll talk with Jim Wyatt on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Wednesday morning.
Well done, Elijah.
Yeah.
That was good.
By the way, Shane tweeted. Did he tweet at you?
No, I think he just sent it to you.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's what he said on the text line.
Wow. Okay. Hello. We didn't get that here. All right, let's bring in Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. We're 8 days away from the NFL draft, and he is on the line with us to celebrate and talk about Mookie Betts' catch. That was fantastic. Jim, what's going on?
I'm doing great. It's a great catch. Yeah, they ended up getting hit by a pitch the other night, and hopefully he's going to be okay after that. So that was a scary moment, but made a great catch. I was very happy with the results of that series, and certainly the start of this season. So we'll see how it goes. But getting geared up for the draft. Appreciate you guys having me on. Left side of my face a little bit numb, so if you have a little trouble hearing me or understanding me, that's the reason.
Dentist office visit.
It's the reward for not wearing sunscreen as a child.
Oh.
I had a little procedure this morning, but I'm hanging in there.
Oh, well, I did not know that. Well, please hang in there. I hope everything's all right.
I'll probably sound better than I look.
And by the way, thanks for the PSA. I need to listen to that. I need to do a better job. Sunscreen. Protect yourself.
Yep. Yeah, especially for us Irish guys.
Yes, who don't tan. Yeah. What's your gut feel? I mean, this is so interesting, and you've been a part of this process for so long, and I kind of chuckle. I'm sure you chuckle. When you get to this stage of the draft, and you know, if anything is said, you know, everybody's waiting to pounce. You know, the Trevor Lawrence interview comes out from Sports Illustrated, and it's just it. You know, Trey Lance, it's just one turn, Justin Fields. It's like this is where everybody gets picked apart, right? This is where everybody's looking for something. And this is where teams, you know, are playing a little stratego, right? They're playing a little battleship. They're trying to put stuff out there. They're trying to maneuver. They're trying to trick people. Everybody's trying to position themselves. This is a fun year. I would love to be behind the scenes and to see how all this works because – I bet a lot of it is just comical and some of the tricks of the trade that go on leading up to this time of year right before the draft.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's so many smoke screens going out and getting teams to try to jump and trying to lead people astray just so you can put yourself in a better spot. And, you know, reality is, you know, we're a little more than a week away, you know, from the draft. And if you're picking 22, like the Titans, you ask the general manager who he's picking right now, and he can't even tell you, just because you just don't know what's going to happen. Picks 1 to 21. You hear so many people get asked what you think the Titans will do, or what you think the Raiders will do, or what you think the 49ers will do, or the Giants will do, and that the answer is the case, you know, for all of them. And they've got certain players in mind that they like, but there's a scenario where you move up, you move back, you stick and pick, you have a group of players that you like, and if you know, could pick one of those if somebody falls to you. There's just so many unknowns leading up to the draft, and then there will be some curveballs. I mean, teams that have been kind of in love with the player for the last couple of weeks, and then they'll jump up and get that guy, and it'll just throw the whole, throw all those mock drafts right in the trash. So it's just hard to say what's going to happen. I think the Titans are in a position, because of what's happened in free agency, where they could go in a number of different directions, but even then, it's just so hard to predict.
Yeah, it's hard when you're in their position, right? When you're in the 20s, it's just a much different game than the game you're talking about. Teams up at the top are doing their positioning, their maneuvering, their smoke screening. It's like a poker game. Up at the top, everybody's trying to trick everybody, or I'm going to take this person to see if somebody will jump up in front of them and pay a king's ransom. But when you're down in the 20s, I don't know really what the strategy is. I mean, you have your board, but a lot of things have to play out, right? I mean, you just kind of have to have your board, and as the players that you want at that spot, in this case 22, as they get picked in front of you, you cross them off the list, and then you start talking about the guys who are still on your list.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and obviously you'd rather be in this spot than you would be, back when the Titans are picking first, or picking third, or picking eighth, or picking in the top 10. I mean, that's a result of a bad season. When you're picking in the 20s, obviously you'll be picking even later than this. Titans picking 29 last year, but picking 22, you're there for a reason. And now, as a result of that, you do have a lot of time to kind of sit back and see what happens and how things unfold in front of you. I mean, I look at the Titans and I look at their needs, and I think receiver, obviously one of them, cornerback, one of them, tight end, one of them. This team still needs help at edge rusher, still needs some more help on the offensive line. I mean, there's so many different positions you could go, and then it just – what order you go in is kind of the mystery here. We got four picks in the top 100. You can certainly get some good players. I think a lot of those positions will be addressed in that top 100, but just which one goes first is really a lot hinges on what happens in front of you.
What did you make of Jadeveon Clowney's comments? I know he's gone, and I know he's in Cleveland now, but I still – we haven't had a chance to talk to you since he spoke to the Cleveland media, and obviously a lot of his comments started circulating out there, and it created a discussion piece in this market, just because a little bit, some of the stuff was head-scratching considering what he was saying and, what he chose to do last offseason and how he chose to do it and coming in at the last minute, and he chose the Titans. So that's how it works when you're a free agent. Well, what did you make of what he said to the Cleveland media?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of silly, to be honest with you. I mean, I dealt with him a couple of times, on those Zoom calls when he was here, and he's one of those guys, seems like he's a little bit of a jokester, and tries to have a little fun, and teammates obviously like him, but he's also somebody who is in it to try to get as much money as possible, and that's what happened to him last year. He held out to the very end. He got a good contract, came in, and he flashed, I guess, when he was here, but he wasn't real. I mean, he didn't do what he was paid to do. And then when he had an injury, he made the decision to go ahead and have the procedure and to just look ahead toward 2021. So he wasn't a guy who really put himself in a position where he could be throwing shade at his former team, to be honest with you, talking about their win total in Cleveland is more than the win total in Tennessee, because part of the reason the win total in Tennessee wasn't better was because he didn't help. I mean, he played in eight games, didn't have a sack. Again, he's got to do what's best for him, but he opted to have the knee surgery where he could get healthy for this year, and he's joined the Browns team that they're on the right track. But, the team he joined last year was coming off an AFC championship game appearance and was one win away from the Super Bowl and ended up losing to the defending champ. So, it just was silly, if you ask me. And it certainly made it for a good sound bite, and sure got a couple of chuckles. I heard that on the Zoom. But I'm sure people that were his teammates here, even as much as, they probably enjoyed being a teammate of his for eight games, they probably didn't appreciate it that much either.
Yeah. How do you think the whole I brought this up yesterday, and I know, there's still plenty of time for this to all play out, but it is kind of an important position, as we've learned. It's when it's good, it's good. When it's not, it's an important position. Who's going to be kicking for this team? who's the kicker?
That's a good question.
Jim, are you up for it?
Are you trying out?
They don't want me to kick. Yeah, it'd be pretty ugly. I tried to decide whether I'm going to go soccer style or just straight ahead, and figuring it out wouldn't be very pretty. I don't know. I mean, the last time Mike Vrabel was asked about it, he said that they wanted to have some discussions with Stephen Gostkowski, and certainly just because he's not signed yet doesn't mean the door's closed, but I think they're going to evaluate some options. I mean, Tucker McCann is a young guy from Missouri who spent time on the practice squad, ended up getting hurt, but he still remains on the roster. And then there will be, I have a feeling they will, look at other options as well. I mean, Gostkowski made some big kicks and had a great game in Minnesota. He kicked some game winners, but then he was all over the place other times. So I think ideally you'd want a kicker that you can depend on and you can build on for years to come, instead of having a guy maybe be a stopgap guy or just do it for a year. I mean, you want to do what you did with Ryan Succop, where you've got a kicker here for a long time. It's what they did with Rob Baronis. That's what they had here for, with Joe Nedney and, Del Greco before, during the early times of this franchise. So that's the position you want to be in. And I think they're still trying to figure out whether or not that's something they can do this offseason. There's some good kickers out there that I'm sure they're evaluating and will bring in for the competition. But as of, April the 21st, there's really not an answer, because there's only kick on the roster is Tucker McCann right now.
We're talking to Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com. And, Jimmy, I enjoy the mailbag that you do on TennesseeTitans.com. I enjoy reading through that. Nice Spanish skills this week. That's pretty good.
that Spanish, English to Spanish translator. Google that. That's very helpful. I did take Spanish at Father Ryan under Mr. Hammond, so I can speak a little bit of Spanish, but I get a little help there, from the translator.
Yeah, we all have to
use my cover there.
That's all right. We all have to use that. But one of the things that I guess is a theme with some Titans fans is they like the moves that were made in the offseason, but they still acknowledge the holes on this roster. But as we talk about the draft, I've kind of used the phrase that I feel like this is a draft that would be really hard to screw up, just because how deep it is at a variety of different positions. We know this team needs to address wide receiver. They could probably get two, whether it's in the first, second, third, on down the line, could probably get two that could fill a lot of these needs. So do you feel that way too, that this draft can maybe ease the minds of some Titans fans once John Robinson is done making his selections? I believe right now he sits with 9.
Yeah, I think it could, but you got to pick the right ones. And I think we've saw that last year. I mean, and that's the case across the league. I mean, you've got some good options, but you also, some guys who you look at and some teams look at as, can't miss players or players who can potentially come in and play early. Sometimes those guys don't pan out, or sometimes they get injured, or sometimes your evaluation is off. So, that's why all this work is going in now, leading up to this process. Yeah, I do look at certain positions that need help and think, okay, if you can get this guy here and get this guy here, then you've solidified that position. But I'm always also, hesitant to count on the rookies right out of the gate. I think certain positions, especially receiver, it takes a while. I mean, what A.J. Brown did was spectacular, and you just don't see that a lot. I mean, all these receivers the Titans have picked over the years early, some of them have never panned out. Some of them, it took them a while to really kind of find their way. So other positions are different. But there's no question you can help yourself in this draft and you can improve your depth in this draft. But I still think no matter what happens, I think you're still going to see another wave of free agency right after the draft to fill certain spots that you didn't get. And I think that's kind of how this roster is going to come together. And then, some of these guys you pick, you're going to have to count on them to play.
Yeah, and also, some guys that are here already. I mean, like at that position, at the receiver position alone, I mean, you got Cam Batson, who has been in the organization for a while. He's had his moments. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, another one. So, what's kind of your thoughts on them being able to take the next step, that even though the position could be addressed in the draft, they're still here and want to make an impact as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. There's some guys that they're going to be, given more opportunities this year that they haven't had. I mean, and you mentioned a couple of good ones there. Rashard Davis is another one who's had some time here, and Cody Hollister is another one, and Marcus Johnson's another one, and Chester Rogers, Mason Kinsey, a lot of guys who have kind of hung around, that potentially could rise up. They'll be in the mix, and then I look at other. I mean, I look at last year's draft class, and I'm not even talking about the first round pick, but guys like Christian Fulton and Darrington Evans, who really didn't help you much last year. That's like almost getting a whole new draft class in itself, because you're getting an extra year under those guys. Well, the problem with all these rookies is just. What we're dealing with in these off seasons now is different than what we've dealt in off seasons in the past. I mean, because of the OTAs and off season programs that are in person, I mean, to hear about the step from year one to year two being so big, all these guys we just mentioned, these young players at receiver and some of the draft picks from last year, they're not getting what players got in previous years to make that big jump from year one to year two. And when they show up in training camp, and they're kind of under the gun. Yeah, you can make improvements in the off-season program virtually, and you can do things on your own, but it's different. So young guys that are being counted on now are being counted on without the same learning that they've been able to do and on-field growth that they've been able to have. And that makes it tough when you're counting on the young guys.
Jim, I've brought this up with a couple of different people this week, so I look forward to getting your opinion. But we know Jayon Brown is back on a one-year deal coming off an injury. A fifth-round pick, he's had a chip on his shoulder trying to – and he's done a good job of proving that he is one heck of a player. Rashawn Evans, we'll see what happens with the fifth-year option. But, essentially right now you're thinking this is – the last year of his deal. In your mind, with those two playing the same position, knowing that David Long is getting better and better, who has the most to prove and the biggest chip on their shoulder going into this season?
Well, I think Rashawn Evans. I mean, I think, I think we all know that Jayon's a special player, and that, I feel pretty certain at this time last year, or this time next year, I should say, when this season ends, I feel pretty certain that Jayon's the guy that the team will try to keep long-term. And I think Jayon signed a one-year deal to be back here because I think he knows his team believes in him, and I think he knows he has a future here that could be passed this year. With Rashawn, I think it's I think he does have something to prove. I thought he had a really good 2019 season. I was expecting him to be a to take another step last year, and for one reason or another, it just really didn't happen. And now he does have a fifth-year option coming up. I personally, without talking to anybody, just kind of viewing it based on what I've seen of late, I think I'd be surprised if he got the fifth-year option. And so he's playing for his future moving forward. And, I think, obviously David Long, his growth curve continues to go up. But, again, Evans is a first-round pick. He's a guy that they banked on being a big part of this team's future. And now he's in a year where he's got to kind of prove it. And I think he will. I mean, I think he's a good player. I think he's a tough player. I think he's smart. I think he's all about football. And I think he'll find his footing better this year and kind of prove it.
As we wrap this up, we haven't had a chance to talk to you. Coach Eddie, what do you think about that? Eddie George at TSU taking over that program.
I'm very happy about it. I mean, it's funny. I think back of Eddie. I've got a picture in my office with me and Eddie. I'm looking at it right now on the practice field. I think it's probably during the 1999 season. I've got my Dodger hat on. I got Eddie's kind of walking side by side. I remember what that conversation was about, but I'm not going to share it. But I look at Eddie then as a young guy, and just him just still kind of starting to find his way in Nashville, and then just to see everything that's kind of happened to him since, how he's become such, he turned into a great pro. He's turned into such a great ambassador for this organization, for the city. He's done so many good things in his life, and been so involved in so many ways. And now for him to get a chance to coach TSU and to make a difference in the lives of so many young men, and for a university here that certainly has produced some really good teams and some good players and has a lot of pride. I'm really happy that he's decided to go down that road and hope he does well. I mean, I was surprised. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't surprised, just because, and the reason is just because he's involved in so many things. I just know what a commitment that's going to be, and he's going to have to invest everything he has in that job, from a recruiting standpoint to a fundraising standpoint to a coaching standpoint to a mentoring standpoint. So, but if there's anybody that can do it, if there's anybody that's great to learn from, it's him. So I'm happy for him. I got to talk to him a little bit last week and just tell him how proud I was of him. And he's just such a good guy, as you all know, and probably one of my favorite guys that's ever come rolling through there. And there have been some great players and great guys that have come through, but Eddie's kind of special in a lot of ways, and I hope he does well.
25 years ago yesterday, he was drafted by this organization. So
wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Really,
he still
is,
looks the
really
same.
Is, so. Yeah, he looks great. Yeah, he looks tremendous. And so I hope he does well. I mean, I know I remember my dad took me to see TSU play, several times back, back when Coach Merritt was a coach. And, obviously I'm a Vanderbilt fan, but I'm also a Nashvilleian who kind of supports local teams. And I'll definitely be pulling for TSU now and watching them closer since Eddie's got the job.
Thanks for the visit, as always. Hope everything's all right on your end, in your recovery, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, hope you guys have a great week. Thank you.
All right, you too. That is Jim White. Covers the Titans, TennesseeTitans.com. He's been doing it for a long time. We'll come back. Willie will get in the mix. We'll come back and close out the first hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Keep listening to the show because, we're going to give you a keyword to text in for your chance to win that T-Mobile Hockey Homegate giveaway, if I can
hockey.
Say it. Hockey Homegate.
Hockey.
Holy cow, Hockey Homegate. You got a giveaway for Hockey Homegate? A Dos Equis prize pack, including a case of beer. Holy crap, that just happened. Dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, T-Mobile prize pack. And food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just keep in mind, you must be 21 years of age or older to enter. So at some point before we get out of here at 2 o'clock, or if I leave because I can't talk anymore, Herm Edwards will join us to start
the hockey.
The second game. Yeah, holy cow. Hockey home game.
Against the Hawks.
Is that supposed to be Boston? Like Hal Gill?
I don't know.
Cringing right now. If he heard you,
I know.
I have no idea.
He would slap me if he heard that. If that was pretending to be someone from that area, I wasn't pretending to do anything. I just totally botched it, and then some.
Need some work.
Yeah, I don't even know what that was.
Keep working on that.
He needs something.
I need something. All right, we had Dan Shanka on. The energy from Dan is awesome, talking about the draft. And I was looking at his draft guide, and he actually – they play out every pick for every team, which I think is crazy, right? But that's what they do. And, I mean, you know how incredibly hard that has to be. And so let's just, for fun, let's just throw it out there and let's see if any of this stuff happens. Let's discuss. So I brought this up to him yesterday. They think Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota, will be their first-round pick at 22. Anybody believe that has a chance?
I think everything has a chance. I think would be surprised. I don't think I would predict wide receiver in the first round.
Oh, okay. Really?
Really?
Why do you say that?
I'm feeling you got to feed the defense. Although.
But it's, yeah. You have the
it's
opportunity.
It's a legit need.
Yeah.
I just think you can get a wide. My theory is you can get the wide receiver you want in the second or the third. That's my theory that I'm going to go with.
Okay.
And I don't think you're necessarily wrong there.
It's got depth at wide receiver, so that's not crazy.
And my thing, you know, I've wanted Elijah Moore. I actually believe that Elijah Moore might be there for you, you know, in the second round.
Well, they had Elijah Moore going 42.
So that would put him early second round.
Early to mid, second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would probably – I like Rashad Bateman, but would not be my choice at 22.
Okay.
I think I'm with Willie there that just going on the premise of best player available for something that I need, I would probably be looking at corner around there because I think some of those corners would be that. That'd be right where they'd be hovering around.
They don't have a corner going until the 100th pick. They have the 100th pick in the draft. So let's go second round.
In the entire thing? Not even early in the first?
Nope. Wow. No, I'm saying for the Titans. The Titans.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I'm talking about the Titans pick.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, no. Davion Nixon, defensive tackle from Iowa with their 53rd pick, which is their second round pick. I don't see them taking a D tackle.
I don't either.
Right? I don't see that one. That's the one I'm going to say, yeah, I don't see that.
You never know. You never know, but I think that is certainly not a position of need.
Right. No. I would agree. That's why I'm saying I'm going to say no because I think when you think about positions of need with a second-round pick, I just think right now defensive tackle is down the list, right? It's not something
he would just have to be so much better
round.
Than anybody on their board.
Right. Unless he's a Jeffrey Simmons type, yeah. Right? And they're planning on doing what the Rams did a couple years ago when they went to the Super Bowl and having Sue and Donald, you know, kind of that look, okay, fine. I get it. If you feel like this guy should have been a first-round pick, oh, okay. Yeah, you don't pass that up. But I just don't see that one. I don't see that. Third of the 85th pick, I know what you guys are going to do. Oh, of course you like that pick. Yeah, I'm sure you do. Jamin Davis, the linebacker from Kentucky, I love that pick. At 85?
I don't hate that pick. I'm not going to give you a hard time for
that. I love that pick at 85.
And inside or outside?
He's inside.
Okay.
I don't know if he's there.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's there by then. But I don't think
I don't know if he is either. I'm not sure he's going to make it to 85, but that's the thing about the draft. You never know.
It's
how
right.
It's going to play out.
And it's not a big position of need. So somewhere in there you've got to get a DB. Somewhere in there you got to get a wide receiver. Right? Mm-hmm. Tight end's got to be on your list.
Yeah.
So it's one thing like I completely can justify it if there's a player there and you're like, you know what, this guy by far has the best grade. We've got to take him. He's way better. Then that, I think, should get you in there and take him before a position of need. But somewhere in there, you got to address the needs.
Yeah, well, I think this is where you guys are. So with the 100th pick, so 15 picks later, remember, they've got four picks. In the top 100, Tay Gowan, cornerback from Central Florida.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, and I understand that. But, I mean, that's where they've got the first corner going for the Titans, and or a corner going for the Titans. And I think – I feel like that we all think that the, if that, that position will probably get addressed earlier than that, don't we think?
I feel like it will. But again, there, you know, there's some corners that, you know, if you don't address it in the first round, because, you know, you're not going to get Surtain. He's probably going to be already off the board unless you move up for him. But Asante Samuel, J.C. Horn, somebody like that, you know, if you don't go that route, you got options in the second round and even the third, you know. So, I mean, somebody like an Eric Stokes or Elijah Molden will be out there. So it's like receiver that, you know, you have several options to address that position, and that's why you can go along the lines of position of need and, you know, what you have and the best player available whenever you get to 22, if they decide to stay at 22.
So our lads went with receiver, mm-hmm. D-line, mm-hmm. inside linebacker, corner with mm-hmm. the four picks in the first 100.
Yep.
So two need-based picks and two best player available type of picks.
Yep.
Just in a general sense.
Yes.
Okay. If that's the four guys they picked, I don't think I would come out, you know, scratching my head or anything.
Okay. After that, Ben Cleveland, a guard from Georgia. I don't know. Maybe a little bit nervous.
Going back to Georgia?
For a guard. Or tackle.
Little nervous there.
As the offensive lineman from Georgia, you know.
Wasn't good to you?
Well, not really, no. But I know you can't really, but I don't know. We know Ben Cleveland. I don't think that's not a horrible pick at 126. I mean, they're going to have to draft somebody at that position.
They need reinforcements.
There's no doubt.
Is he a guard only? Can he slide over and play center potentially?
That I don't know. They have him listed as a guard.
Thinking, you know, down the road, Nate Davis is still pretty young, but you've got an aging Roger Saffold, you've got an aging Ben Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for maybe not this coming year, but in the future, who could you develop and slide into one of those spots?
As we've seen, typically, especially in today's game, I don't think you can be pigeonholed, right, for the most part. With offensive linemen, I think they realize they've got to be versatile, right? I mean, how much shifting have we seen here moving around that we thought, you know, we didn't think we would see? I mean, I just think a lot of these guys have to understand you're going to have to be versatile at that position. I don't think you really want to be pigeonholed into one spot and one spot only. Obviously, your value increases if you are a guy. Or sometimes they just see you as something different, right? I mean, that happens too. Christian Uphoff is a strong safety from Illinois State is who they've got taking next with the 166th pick. I know we don't know anything about him, but what do you think about a safety going in that round?
Well, I can see a safety as, you know, maybe he could be a dime back. Maybe he's a special teams person. And you now do need to replace, you know, the third and fourth safeties, right? You need reinforcements because those guys are going to play more. Crookshank and who am I forgetting? The Hooker, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And especially Hooker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the roles are going to increase. So, yeah. Now you get into the later rounds, a defensive end from Florida State, Joshua Kando.
Okay. Then
here's an interesting pick. So they've got pick 205, pick 215, and pick 232. So they have, what is that, three picks and 27 slots. So that's not bad there at the end of the draft. So here's the last two picks that our lad scouting service has them going with. Pick 215, quarterback from Arkansas. Quarterback, not cornerback. Quarterback from Arkansas.
Really?
Felipe Franks.
Really?
Felipe Franks. Never have seen him as an NFL guy.
No, I haven't either.
I think we've watched him play a lot of games at a couple different schools, and I have not said that guy's going to play in the NFL. He's got an arm.
He's got an arm. He's got a huge frame.
But I'm just not seeing it. hasn't put it all together. You know, maybe he's a backup, you know, third string for a while. I wouldn't take a pick on him. I'd say come on down as a free agent.
Probably because they've gone that route and it just hasn't worked out, right?
Yeah, so we're stigmatized.
Right. I mean, you're
kind of like, ooh, that hasn't worked very well, the late round.
Well, not even pick. Like not worked out. Like they don't even make it out of camp. It's right. Like they're right. Here for like 2 weeks and they're cut. It's like, okay, that hasn't worked out. And finally, the last pick is Mark Webb, a cornerback from Georgia.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's who Our Lads has projected the Titans to take. So a wide receiver, a defensive tackle, an inside linebacker, a corner, a guard, a safety, a D end, a quarterback, and a cornerback. So two. The only position repeated was a cornerback. So two cornerbacks.
Do you think this is a good question?
By the way, no tight end.
Tight end. Okay.
Yeah, that's
the one. I just think they're. Yeah, going
I was just
going to
ask if there's
a
checklist
end.
That you know as a team you're like we really need these positions. We've got to have these positions. I wonder if they do that or they say, you know what, we can't pigeonhole ourselves and pass up on a really good player that we like because we just need X guy at X spot. But I see what you're saying, Darren. I think that would be the reaction of everybody. If they didn't pick a tight end at all, you'd have to say, well, what now who's going to play tight end? Who's out there? You go back to the – I guess there's still probably a lot of free agents sitting out there waiting for the draft, and then after the draft they'll say, okay, now that teams have drafted what they wanted, some didn't get what they wanted, my phone's going to ring. There's probably that – group of people, but it's probably not that attractive of a group.
It is not. Without even looking at it, it's really not.
Yeah. I mean, you're down to the bottom of the barrel.
I'm actually, it's funny, while we're sitting here talking about this, I'm letting the draft network run a draft simulation for the Titans. So I'll let you know.
Oh, really?
Let you know what they come up with.
How long does that take?
Well, I just got to pick 126. So at 22, we went with Terrace Marshall, wide receiver out of LSU.
Now, are they doing this?
Well, they're doing it. I'm picking for the Titans.
Oh, you're picking for the Titans.
So I'm basically going through and best available for position of need is what I'm going with. So through four picks, I have Terrace Marshall that I took at 22. 53, I went Elijah Molden, the cornerback out of Washington. At 85, Carlos Basham, edge at a Wake Forest, and then with pick 100, Chaz Surratt, linebacker from North Carolina. And now pick 126.
Okay.
We'll see what happens here.
We will come
back.
I think
there should be a contest, like a bracket contest, that you take all of the mock drafts that you find. Like maybe just compile, like, let's just see if we can find like 15 and see how many get any of the picks right. Like, and who gets the most?
Oh,
and what is the most? Would it be if they pick seven or eight guys, would anybody get as many as three, right?
Yeah.
Like a mock draft, if you hit somebody's seventh round pick,
that's why
that's
I
pretty
did that.
Impressive.
Like, that's pretty, right. It is, I mean, that
it's
is
totally,
hard.
It's a lottery, right, yeah, is what it is. You try to make an educated stab at it, but you know you're going to be wrong 90% of the time. So I just,
no
I
doubt.
Wonder...
90%, you're being, I think that's a generous number. It's probably even worse than that. I mean, right? I mean, this is,
well, hopefully you got a shot
so
at the
hard.
First, at the first round. You have a shot. Now, if you're doing it in advance of the entire draft, as opposed to watching the picks happen and then making the prediction for each team as they pick, that's a little different. But I'd love to see a mock draft in advance. Let's just take Our Lads. It's not to embarrass anybody. We know going in, that's not the purpose necessarily is to be right. It's just to educate us on who's out there, what are the grades, etc. But it'd be funny to see who actually gets the highest percentage of picks right in a full mock draft. Like we had the guy on from CBS. He was hysterical, right? He goes, you know, my life is tied up in these things. He says, I've got a 7-round mock draft coming out. He made fun of himself, but it was great insight into how that works.
We'll come back. Herm Edwards to start the second hour. That's next.
This hour of Darren Donick and Chase brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a Trane.